Hey, got. Oh, no, not yet. Hey, guys, it's just me, Dan, and say hi to Vanessa.
Hi, guys.
It's the wrong way around to say it. You're supposed to say hi, Vanessa, so my fault. Good start, but it's still technically early on a Tuesday morning, I think it is.
Well,
Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
Good. So we're just carrying on today from last week, which was our talk about how to set up a training plan, and we decided to make this a two-part series because, well, we just went on for ages.
We had a lot to say.
We kind of covered a fair bit in there, and I think what's really important to say is, you know, the people we're kind of aiming this podcast towards is people who maybe are like beginners or intermediates within the gym. So what we don't want to do is overwhelm people with all this information and confuse them. So if there's any questions at any point, just feel free to drop us both an email. We're pretty, I think our email addresses are very similar, very easy to remember. And it's, I think mine's dan@danmitchellfitness.co.uk. What's yours?
Mine's the same. Well, not Dan Mitchell, it's Vanessa at vanessafrenchfitness.co.uk.
Is it Dan Mitchell on a weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, what I do is I on a weekend I'm like Vanessa French. I just tuck it in around the back, you know, and just do that with my chest.
Images.
Anyway, so we're just talking about the differences between how people train and how we train people, and I think a good place to start this second part of this podcast and how to set a training plan up is talking about a body part split over a maybe full body or upper lower split. And to some people, they won't have a clue what we're talking about, so we'll keep it quite straightforward. A body part split. So on a Monday, most guys will walk into a gym and it will be what we call International Chest Day.
Yeah, that's true.
So benching for Jesus, then onto incline chest, and then decline chest press, and then back onto some press ups and then some flies. And they'll be doing like 200 reps on their chest on Monday. Sound familiar?
Yeah, it does.
Awesome. Yeah, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And yeah, I got some all right results from doing that. Tuesday will be back day. So it's Tuesday today. So you see loads of guys in the gym. So the gym I used to use, Samson's, I love that place. It was a great gym to train in. Be International Back Day on Tuesday. What would it have been for the ladies in your place?
Well, I don't know. We're all about the legs and the bum at the moment, so maybe we might do shoulders.
Okay.
Girls love to have good-looking shoulders.
Oh, I wish you'd tell some of my ladies that. They panic the sign as soon as they see one little tiny bit of delt pop out. They're like, oh my God, I'm turning into a man already. Oh,
yeah.
My husband's going to leave me. It's like, no, come on, calm down. And then, like, we move on to Wednesday. God, I didn't even know. I can't even remember what we would do. Arms. So, of course, Wednesday is a full arms day. Yeah, of course. I mean, how could you not do arms on a Wednesday? Thursday comes round. Most guys don't like to do legs for some reason.
So you end up with that kind of triangular look. So you're all, like, real stacked up top. It just gets smaller as you go down.
Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
The Johnny Bravo look. Which I think I was sporting for a fair bit of time, actually, to be fair. When I could bench more than I could squat and that kind of thing. And then, like, back round for Friday, and Friday's a bit of, like, kind of just wing it a little bit. And we call this is what you call a body part split. So a body part split, you're kind of working maybe one, two body parts per session, and then you'll come back round to that body part, like, the following week, and you'll have a day dedicated to it. And that's what you do. So how long would you say you did that for, V?
I've done it ever since I started getting into training. So in fairness, I did start off with like a full body workout. I did a GBC, so German Body Composition Program, which is full on high intensity, full body, like kill yourself workout. And I did that for probably a couple of years. So then I know, insane, did end up with ridiculously huge quads. After that, I then went in and did that kind of stereotypical split training. And I didn't really see much benefit from it, to be fair. So I wasn't on that way of training for a long time.
Well, that's not too bad then. I mean, I think what's really important here is, as far as I'm concerned, if you're doing in the gym doing something, it's better than doing nothing. But better to train well or than to kind of spin your wheels for ages and ages, get frustrated and stuff. And I wish I'd kind of woken up to this. I hate to use the term optimal because there's no real optimal way of training, but just better, more efficient.
Yeah.
More beneficial.
How long were you training like that for?
Oh, bro, come on.
just being called a bro.
Yeah, come on, bro. Basically, you go with the amount of muscle fibers in my bicep to per week. So I think I've got at least 40 billion muscle fibers in my biceps. No, it's probably around, I don't know, a long time. I wasted a long time.
Right.
And it frustrated me because seeing all these guys and, you know, in the gym, and they were like, a few were younger than me and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh man, that dog.
I'm sorry, guys. He's been going nuts today.
Oh my God. he's going to be on Bad Taxidermy soon. I'm going to put him on there.
What's that?
You've not seen Bad Taxidermy?
No.
Oh my God, I'm making a note. You need to look at it. It is hilarious.
Right, I'm going to make a note of this. Bad Taxidermy. What is it?
Do you know what taxidermy is?
No.
Taxidermy is when people stuff animals after they die.
Oh, yes, I do know. Sorry.
Have you seen Bad Taxidermy?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, it's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Don't be mean.
Yeah, but it's people whose pets have died, like they've been run over or something, and then they get them stuffed. So their faces are all smashed out to the side. It's incredible.
Anyway.
Well, this is what happens when you get into your mid-30s. It's the simple things in life. I've made a note. I'm going to remind you for that later. So, anyway, yeah, so I was just kind of seeing all these, I guess I didn't really understand the principles of training at all anyway, so it was a bit kind of missing the woods for the trees. But when I kind of trained hard and all this kind of stuff, and I was just smashing, I just didn't really see anything, and I couldn't really see what was going on, and I'd follow these workouts, and I guess it only got to a point when I started to think, right, this is just, why am I in the gym? Am I in the gym to just, to say I go to the gym, or am I going to the gym because I actually want to achieve something? I want my body to look a different way.
Yeah.
And then I just sort of came across a different methodology of training, which was more like, and I think the first time I did this was I was working in London, and I just happened to find a workout. It was 3 days a week, and it worked every muscle in the body, basically every single session, pretty much.
Right.
Different rep ranges and all that kind of stuff. And I went, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to have a crack at this. So I did. And I started squatting, and my squat went up pretty quick. He's definitely gone on that website. not before I sell him to some sort of Far Eastern country and get some meat out of him as well. anyway, I started this program, and I just thought, I was like, whoa, like, I could really see the difference in my arms and my chest. A chest is always something that was always really bothered me. I used to have like this little pigeon chest, and I'd be like, oh man, I just look rubbish. I had these like little dog ear boobs that hang down. And
oh, you had moobs? Like,
I've never had full on moobs actually, but they were like kind of little sort of mini spaniel ear things, like a chihuahua's ear. It was like the end of that, like a little bit pointy. And I didn't have them anymore. And I was like, oh, sweet. That was pretty cool. So then I decided to try another form of program and all that kind of and that kind of thing. And things started to change and happen. I thought, oh, wow, different. And then sort of fast forward a couple of years, and I found a program by a chap called Lane Norton. And he actually said, this isn't actually a program. It's a methodology of training. And it was called PHAT, fat, power hypertrophy something training. I can't remember what you call it. And it just basically focused on big compound lifts, tracking your training, recovering well, varied rep ranges, but structured. And you didn't focus on the things that didn't matter that much. So I was always thinking, right, to get my arms to grow, I need to do a billion bicep curls and different variations. And yeah, they grew a bit. But it was only when I went from being able to do sort of like, I think I did like 14 pull-ups over three sets total, probably crappy form, whatever, I don't know. This is going back a few years now. To being able to smash out nearly 50 pull-ups over three sets. That's when I started getting a back, like my back muscles started showing through and my arms changed. And I was able to, you know, when I was able to do close grip bench press and things like this, but I had a chest and my triceps were showing through and I was like, wow. And I really just look back and I think, yeah, I've wasted so much time because in around about 16 weeks of consistent training, I probably put on more muscle in that 16 weeks than I had in the previous 5 years.
I think you introduced me to this program, and I have to say...
No, I wrote that one.
And I have to say that when I started doing this, it made me realise that, you know, all that effort I had put in before was almost wasted because I had never seen such big adaptions in my body and my strength and all that since I had been training like those push-pull and upper-lower, that kind of split before. It was really, really good. So it's probably still one of my favourite ways of training.
Yeah, it's definitely a methodology. And I think with the way that I train and set people's training programs up, is most people who PT with me in the gym, the most that I allow people to train, because I'm not really one for, I hear of some PTs up your way actually, in Basingstoke, charging one of my ex-clients, and I believe she was one of your ex-clients as well, £1,000 a month for PT.
I know who that might be.
Yeah, and there's some further story behind that, but it's just unnecessary. Like, nobody needs to be in the gym that much, really, unless they're potentially like a competitive powerlifter.
£1,000? I mean, jeez.
I know. That's crazy. Fair enough if you're getting insane results, but...
Do you need someone to watch over you for £1,000 worth?
Yeah, but people buy into that stuff because that's a person who might be in good shape, so you put your trust in them, and they go, you know, actually, you need this. You need this, and you go, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I put money into people before that I've gone, yeah, that'll be a good idea. That they know what they're talking about. And as I said in a previous podcast, was instead of them doing an £80 biosignature skin caliper fake formula test, they could have just said, stop drinking beer as much.
Yes.
And it would have been the same. and I would have been probably a bit more well off.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely, completely ripped off is what we're getting at. But the fact is, like, most people I would say train three times a week, so they're my semi-private clients, and I would say that would probably be about the same for when you were mostly doing PT, right?
Yes.
So why does this yield such better results? And I'll say, so the training program we're talking about there is like a methodology, and it was a 6-day training program that you would complete over 10 days. So you would cycle through each workout every, throughout a 10-day period. And it's effectively what we call as undulating programming. So you change the focus. If you notice within that program, you would squat twice over those 10 days, you would deadlift twice over those 10 days, and you would press twice over those 10 days.
Yeah.
So there's still six workouts, but there were different accessory movements within them, so you get a bit of a different stimulus, but you stay structured. It doesn't need to be that complex. So a way that I train people in the gym or train online clients is they will have a strength, depending on how frequently they want to go, nobody goes more than 4 times a week and does strength training.
Yeah, that's my absolute maximum, 4 times a week.
And why, though? That's what I think is important. Why a maximum of 4 a week?
Well, for me, it's a case of making sure you get enough recovery in. I think people who come to me initially are so used to training, I know, 6 days a week, not seeing such great results, and just like, you know, and when they come to me, they almost panic. Are you sure I only need to train 4 times a week? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. Let's take it down a notch. And you can see the fear of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get fat. And the exact opposite happens. And the reason for that is because they get more recovery. So your muscles recover, your body you know, it gets time to repair. And guess what? When you go back to the gym again, you can put more energy and emphasis into the workouts and the reps that you're doing. So you can lift heavy, you can do more. And that way you just keep seeing better results. Whereas if you just went to gym consistently every single day, you're not giving your body enough chance to rest. You're going to be tired, fatigued. Your sessions are going to be pathetic. So for me, it's all about recovery.
Are we talking about me over the last 6 months? In the gym? Yeah, pathetic in the gym. Like, oh my God, I'm so tired. And the reason why, right, recovery is kind of a bit of a funny one, really, because people think that they're everybody's like, oh, I don't need to worry about that. Mm. Actually, most people do these days. A lot of people say I overstate things, but it's really an individual. It's an individual amount, and that can mean frequency of training can be specific to each individual. But recovery, basically, what we're talking about is, you've got, if you're not, like, if you're lifting, or if you're in the gym, whatever methodology of training you are doing, even if it's cardio, you wouldn't see, like, if I've helped a couple of people with training plans. We've got a standard templated marathon plan, and we've built up to your sort of 20 mile peak, and then I've tweaked around some nutrition stuff within that and some recovery in there. Now, runner, these people are going for a specific event at the end of, say, 16, 20 weeks. They don't smash themselves stupid and run six times in a week. Full whack, they'll do a tempo session, they'll do some intervals, and they'll do a distance, and they'll do different things. But it's not a full out max heart rate intensity every time, because they'll just break.
Yeah, exactly.
So if we're talking that from a runner, why does that not apply to, why people don't understand that
it's
this
really
applies?
The point. You know, I don't know. It's like they. It's mental block, isn't it? Oh, my dog. I'm literally going to kill him today.
Is that the postman again?
Probably, yeah.
It's all right. I'll set fire to his van. That's your cardio later, throwing your dog and cat, then running after it.
Yeah.
Right, guys, we're going to pause that podcast.
Yes, he's absolutely getting nuts. Hang on.
Right, guys, we've just had a little bit of a break because the dog went mental, so it's a little bit. We're going to just sort of resume where we were before. So we were saying about why people in the gym don't, or just regular people who like exercising or want to get in shape, they can't understand or comprehend. Oh, I'm going to murder that thing. They can't understand or comprehend that more isn't, doing more stuff is not going to yield better results.
Yeah.
In fact, it's going to be more likely to be at a detriment of it and to detriment to it. So what that means is, and we're talking about recovery, is that the most important thing on gaining, so for the ladies, we talk about tone, because every time we say about gaining muscle, they flap and go a bit mental and, you know.
they think they're going to turn into Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, straight away. And put it this way, if that was going to happen, neither of us would have a job. And for the guys, you know, if we're talking about wanting to get actual chest, you know, what actual pecs, actual guns, and most people should want some quads as well. Most guys tend to not worry about that. But is to be able to actually lift the most amount of weight that you can lift and recover from frequently.
Yeah.
And that's it. Obviously, there's a bit more to it than that, but it's... This is kind of moving on to, so we're moving away from recovery and moving on to failure.
Yeah. And this is another misconception that everyone feels that they need to train, you know, as hard as they can, push them. They should be literally crawling out of the gym. And you see this on Instagram, don't you, where people are saying, oh, yeah, I've just, you know, smashed my workout and I can't walk, it's leg day, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that's what people think they need to do. They need to be, you know, in pain, not able to move that body part for the next week, just so they can see results.
Exactly. I don't see any of that on Instagram because I've unfollowed all those people.
I just do it for giggles.
Absolutely. And it's purely people just thinking, right, they train like that. That person's in crazy shape, therefore I need to train like that.
Yeah.
and that's just simply not true. There's two types of failure which we need to kind of worry about. From our perspective, all we need to think about is technical muscular failure. So muscular failure is training a muscle to the point you can't lift a weight anymore at all. So you might have to have a mate spot you or something like that. And then you get technical failure, which is where your form breaks down.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, your muscles are going to fail before the the technique is going to fail before the muscle.
Yeah.
So unless it's something like something daft, like an isolation movement, such as a banded clam for the girls.
They are awkward.
Try being a man coaching those.
No eye contact going on.
Yeah, just open your legs and close them again frequently and thrust that at somewhere in close to... Yeah, it's not great. or you get bicep curls or something like that. Something that isn't going to really... Basically, if you fail underneath a bench, you might suffocate yourself.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah, that's happened to me. I told you about dropping that. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah, you did. Was that your first proper gym experience?
No. I'd been a while. No, I was just...
Oh.
Yeah. I care not to... It's a memory, put it that way.
Yeah, Jason had to save some guy that did exactly the same thing. He saw him go, and, like, he was going, and then he had to, like, get in there underneath.
Oh, no. I don't think I've ever saved anyone under a bench. Yeah, I have, actually. I remember... Oh, so bad. I felt so awful, actually. I think the chap had learning difficulties, and there was a couple of guys laughing, and I was wondering what was laughing at, and he was just squirming underneath the bench, and, like, just...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they're just laughing at him, and they were like, oh, yeah, and just... It was not great. This is what I mean. People can be such arses and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like your dog. There he goes again.
He's got little man syndrome. Astro!
I'm gonna edit that back in. We're gonna have that back in. You do look like a mental villain of some form, stroking your dog in front of me. You're so weird. Astro, I'm gonna murder you at some point. I'll be the Basingstoke.
How cute he is.
It's not a real dog. And it barks all the time.
That is annoying.
Can you get their bark removed?
Yeah, what film is that off? I'm sure that's...
Yeah,
that
is off a film, isn't it? That is off a film. right, so going back to...
I'll get done for dog cruelty soon.
I will. I don't mind. It's fine. I've got things to do, and all I can hear is this frigging dog going, but look at it now, look, yeah.
Cute, eh?
No, not cute. Reminds me of my nan's old dog. That thing used to just pee all over my feet and stuff like that. It was horrific. Used to do that weird thing, you know, where they put their bums on the floor and then just sweep the floor with their bum holes.
Oh, bum scooching.
Yeah, that. It's disgusting. And the carpet can't have been pleasant for it. I love my nan's bits, but she was like a classic nan from up north. She's like a real northerner.
Oh, right. It's hard as nails.
So the carpet was like, yeah, the carpet was actually like staples.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. Imagine it had looked like a baboon
glass. Watch you as it went.
Anyway, let's get away from dogs' buttholes. So we're talking what were we saying there? So technical and muscular failure. So you'll see a lot of people train so they can't lift a weight anymore, and yeah, it can be pretty dangerous, to be honest. I've made that mistake a few times. I've squatted thinking, had a bit of a squat off with a mate once back in the day. And I got completely pinned under... It was not a bad weight. I'm not going to say what weight it is, just because people would be like, yeah, whatever, Dan. I was quite happy with the weight, but I got pinned, and I couldn't move. And my mate was like, what do you expect me to do? I can't lift this off you. I was just sat there.
So what did you do?
I just stayed there for a bit. I started to get... Because I was embarrassed, and then also a little frustrated because it was the man pit in a gym in Southampton, and there was loads of blokes just watching, probably wetting themselves laughing at this ego lifting that was happening. And after a little while, there was these five lads, and the smallest lad came over and gave my mate a hand and lifted it off. And I was like, God, cheers, mate. And then I went, because I guess it was a mixture of embarrassment and a little bit of frustration. I did go and have a go at his mate saying, come on, you know, I won't say the exact words. But, you know, I could have died, basically. It was bad. It was really embarrassing.
I can't say I've ever had anything like that happen, touch wood. I've always judged it fairly well.
Yeah, I wish I could. I'm not that intelligent, sadly. So, you know, it does. It does. You know, your ego does. I'm a guy.
That's
sometimes
a bad thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to happen from time to time. Like, you know, but it's not a good thing. And actually, training to failure all the time, all that does is kind of batter you down a little bit. And I used to burn out quite a lot.
Yeah.
You know, do you ever used to get that where you're like, just lost complete motivation?
Yeah.
But what did you do? Did you still go to the gym?
No. Basically, I've got to the point once where I was just so cream crackered that I just couldn't even get up from the coffee table one day, which is probably, you know, that's insane.
What were you doing on the coffee table?
I was just having my coffee, Dan. Nothing
okay,
else.
But on the coffee table.
Well, no. But don't make this more difficult. So I was done. And I had to have like 2 weeks off to properly recover from that. That was like, and that's because I trained, I not only did like cardio every single day, but I also nailed it in the gym as hard as I could every single day. With probably just a couple of days rest, and I was training to failure, and I just burnt out really. So I couldn't go to the gym. I just physically couldn't. It took me 2 weeks to get back from it. But as of terms of loss of motivation, I've never had that. I've never just had like the motivation gone for training, unless it's actually been a choice. Like right now, I don't actually go to the gym. But apart from that, no.
Don't you?
No, I haven't stepped foot in the gym for months.
How are you training then?
I have some bits at home, as you can see. And I train whenever I fancy it at home.
Okay.
I know. It's just because right now life is pretty crazy. So I'm just doing what I can when I can in between my work.
Fair enough. Well, that's the right attitude, I think, and stuff. It's a bit different for me. This year I found it's been tough. Opening the gym has been hard work, and I've been working I've never worked so hard in my life. And that's rewarding because, you know, I think working hard is rewarding in many ways, but other things have had to take a bit of a step back, and training
exactly.
is one of them.
Exactly the same here. You can't do everything, can you?
No.
I think my training was probably best when I had nothing else going on, you know, when I could fully focus and, you know, life was just ticking along, that kind of thing. So that's when my training was at my best, when there was no other life stresses going on. But when things come up, I just had to work around them.
Exactly, and I think more people would. I mean, I'm such a hypocrite. I say this to my clients and stuff. Life is hectic, and I'm kind of like, I get really, really stressed, and then because I thrive under stress and in terms of work wise, once I'm stressed, I work really hard and work harder, not smarter, which is a cliche. It's a cliche, but it's true.
Yeah.
And then I think, oh man, I need to get out of here. I'm going to go and train. Bang, smash something stupid like a, you know, hard bike ride, or you know, some sort of crazy session in the gym. And recently, and up until probably about 3-4 weeks ago, I was just broken, like a lot, knackered, tired, moody, achy, right down to the bones. On the weekends, just so like lethargic. And, Astro's making some really strange noises.
Don't go through the mic.
Yes. This is a weird slurp from the dog. It's definitely the dog making that noise, thank God. And you know, and then I'd wonder like why I just felt like that. It's because actually what I should have done was said exactly what I'd have said to my clients, and what I teach people to do is, right, if you've got loads of stuff going on, don't train 4 times this week, because that's going to yield poorer results anyway.
Yeah.
Because you'll be 2 weeks down the line and you'll be like, oh my God, and just on your backside.
Yeah.
And that's why it's exactly the same with training to failure every time. You think about what the word failure means. You're going to the absolute limit. And if you do that, there's no harm in doing it within reason on certain exercises and sometimes on other bits to a point of failure. Got to be careful how I say this. Like chin-ups, for example. Do what you want. as long as your form's good. A bench press, maybe not so much. You know, heavy barbell work and all that, and deadlifts and squats, all these big, heavy, taxing movements and all that. It's not wise to train like that, because the very term failure means you're pushing to the limit every time.
Yeah.
There aren't any elite athletes who do that.
So where would you advise someone to go? How far should they take it?
So a really good way of training, and a really good way of setting your training plan up, is to use what we call as the RPE scale. Now, the guys at Shredded by Science use what's called reps in reserve. So it's a similar type of thing. It's kind of the same thing. And if you think about, was that you? Was that
the yes. Communicating.
Didn't like that comment. You don't like using it. Vanessa doesn't like reps in reserve, so she's just going to woof at it. So reps, it's pretty much the same thing. We work off of more of an RPE scale, and what that means is rate of perceived exertion. Mm-hmm. And we just rate it out of 10. So
10 being absolute failure to the max?
No.
Ah.
So 10 would be, couldn't do any more reps of good form. So you still have one rep in a tank, but you couldn't do... And it's context specific again, so I don't want to overcomplicate it, but a bicep curl, if there's guys in the gym and they're smashing out biceps, if they can't lift that weight anymore, what's the problem? It's not going to cause any problems. They're just not going to be able to, you know, I won't say what I was going to say. Won't be able to, they're not going to be able to raise their arms as well for the rest of the day, and that's, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But if it's like a heavy, taxing, stressful to the body, you know, go into an absolute max session. So you would look at a 10 being not being able to perform that weight with good form, perform that lift with good form. Even then, I wouldn't even go to that point. In our gym, we only ever train to a 9 on the big, max 9 on the biggest movements. And not every week either. So some weeks it could be 7.5, 8, 8.5, 9 on, say, like a deadlift or something like that.
Right.
And it's within certain moves, and that's how we do things. So we call it either reps in reserves or an RPE. And if you think about it, let's say you turn up to the gym and you're absolutely shattered. You didn't sleep last night, or you've had some family stuff go on, and you're tired, you're stressed, you've had enough. You want to come to the gym, you want to train, you still want to do what everybody else is doing, but realistically, you can't hit heavy and hard sessions. Training to like a 9 or 10 might actually feel completely different to what it did last week.
Yes.
So it's relative. So I would say to that person, right, and I would know what they've done last week. So say if they deadlifted 65 for sets of 10 for three sets.
Yeah.
And it was an RP of 9. This week, there's no way they're going to hit that. So I'd say to them, I want you to hit 57.5 for three sets of 8. So we take the volume right back. They still do the movement. They feel good doing it. They get a bit of a sweat on. Box ticked.
Yeah, exactly.
And that just promotes long-term progression. And sometimes you have to take a step back. And do you remember when we first put in deloads into your training?
Yeah. I was like, what the hell is this? This is new.
So how do you deload your clients?
So we go training now. They're training to like an 8 on the scale of, you know, how intense it is. So they're training quite hard. And every 6 to 8 weeks, we have a deload week, whereas I actually give them a choice. I say you can either just take some time off, so take 3 or 4 days off, or go into the gym and just do like half the amount of weight that you'd normally lift, or just go in the gym and have a bit of fun, you know, just mix it up, do something that you want to do. But I have to be careful who I say that to, because there's a tendency there for some people to go, oh, I'll go to the gym and I will train really, really hard anyway. So I do have to be a bit selective as to who gets what. But so it's either some time off, have a mess around, or just go lighter with the weights that you're choosing.
That is a sign of a good coach. Got to be selective, because it's all individual, and that's really, really important. Yeah, exactly. I do exactly the same thing. It depends on who it is. If we're training people, because of the way I undulate training within sessions and stuff like that, within weeks and all that kind of stuff, a lot of the guys, I don't actually deload that much. And the reason I don't deload them is because people have lives. So for PT's clients who come in two, three times a week, the deload is kind of already on there anyway, because usually they'll every five, six weeks, they'll miss a session or two.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't worry in that respect. But for those who just are super regimented with their training, I put a deload in and say, right, every 6th week you are to back off volume. So they'll drop their volume by 30 to 40%. So that could be either done if they're doing three sets, they do two. Or if they're doing 100 kilos on a squat, they'll do 60 kilos on a squat.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll do exactly what you said and say, leave the gym and do something different. Go and skydive naked or something. I don't know, whatever. I wouldn't advise doing that, by the way.
Skydive naked?
It's a bit cold.
I don't even know where you got that idea from.
Don't know. Well, you're in Basingstoke. They've got a skydiving place there.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty doing it naked.
It wouldn't be pretty if I did it naked. People just spend the whole time squinting. It's cold. Can't hear you. But yeah, so just changing the focus a little bit is, and it's good for the brain as well, because we're talking about motivation. You try and slam training week in, week out, plus a full-time job, plus kids and all that kind of stuff. See what happens.
Well, yeah. And also another point, and I'm sure we're going to do a podcast on it specifically, but ladies, when it comes to time of the month, our strengths, motivation levels differ from other days. So we'll come into the gym feeling super strong at some point in our cycle. And then at others, we'll just feel like, oh my gosh, this is so heavy. Why is it so heavy today? And I can't do it when I could last week. So we all go through those stages as well.
Speaking of which, do you have it when ladies go, oh God, I hate everything. This is rubbish. I just want to eat everything. And I don't understand what's going on. I'm tired. And then you're like, are you during your menstrual cycle? And they're like, yeah, why? Like,
shut up.
That might be why. Like, really? What do you know? You're a bloke. Yeah, good point. Yes. Don't kill me.
I literally, I have to track. I highlight everyone's periods now. It's like some weird obsession I have, because you can guarantee they're going to get negative body thoughts in. So I feel so fat, la 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 la. And then they'll be like, I can't do it. The gym was rubbish today. And I'll be like, wait, let's just have a look. And they're like, oh yeah, I see now. So yeah, massive effect for women.
And usually around that time as well, they want to go and train harder and do more.
Yeah.
And punish themselves. Guys do this. It's called their period.
Do they really do that?
It's usually what I call a midlife crisis.
Right. So it's just an epic in your 30s.
Yeah, period usually happens. Mine started about a year ago. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be midway to 40 soon. What the hell? Now I'm just going to be permanently moody until I'm 50. And then I'll accept that I'm old.
I'm just going to grow old disgracefully, Dan.
Yeah, that's
so what happens when the men have their periods? What happens to them?
We have them, see, girls have them like monthly. We have them daily, just comes at different parts of the day.
Fantastic.
I'm like morning, like I'm really moody at 5:20.
Oh, you'd hate me then.
Everything's everybody else's fault.
Right.
So, and then like, if I'm like trying to lose a bit of weight, I'll step on the scales and the scales are wrong. They're wrong. They're definitely wrong. I haven't been able to go to the loo yet, it's because of that. I don't know, everything's crap. It kind of fluctuates on an hourly basis. The good thing about being male is we can decide.
Yeah.
Because you girls don't have it the same as us. That's the thing. Like you know when you're ill, you don't get it. You don't get anywhere near as. You don't understand what it's like to be in true pain.
So, yeah.
So we're allowed.
I'm afraid you're going to get a lot of emails then.
We're allowed this. We're allowed it. Yeah. Feel free to email me on if you've got any different opinion on who suffers worse with the flu and colds, and it's
I read that it's actually facts that men do feel really. I didn't read further into the article or whatever fact that was or where I read that. I cannot remember, but I heard someone said it's actually factual. Is that true?
Yeah, it is an actual scientifically proven fact that males suffer with colds worse than women. Suffer the symptoms are stronger, the feelings worse, And they also have to put up with women when they go through childbirth, which...
You're just rooting for a bruising.
So, okay, well, look, we don't ramble on about it too much. It's pretty much kind of an hour's worth of a subject there on how to set up a training plan. It's a long thing, you know, long thing to talk about, really. It doesn't need to be as complex. The easiest way to do things is to shut the dog up first before you do any podcasts. Is that's the easiest way to live.
I'm gonna have to like put him in a little room, aren't I? Under the stairs.
If you want to get an injury, I know exactly where to get. Like, I don't know, just get a weed killer, something like that. He's absolutely, no wonder he's absolutely petrified of me, isn't he? He's normally absolutely petrified of me. I'm actually joking, Astro, it's fine. To summarise is to keep everything structured, try and do something like a full body training program 3 times a week. That'll serve you really, really well. There's no harm in training your upper body twice a week, lower body twice a week on separate training sessions, so something like an upper-lower split. But most people are going to benefit from a full body training plan. You'll need a variation of a pulling exercise, a variation of a push and a pull, so like a bench press or an overhead press of some form, a seated row or a barbell row or dumbbell row or a pull down. So if you're going to do, you can vary those, and you want to get a bit of a variety of both. A squat variation would be good. It doesn't need to be a heavy back squat. A goblet squat is a brilliant exercise, underutilized. A hinge pattern, so a glute bridge or a single leg glute bridge or a barbell glute bridge, hip thrust, deadlift variation, Romanian deadlifts, that kind of thing. So push pull, squat, hinge, and probably some single leg and single arm work, and then probably a core. If you put them within your training plan and have them relatively structured, you're ticking most of the boxes that need to be ticked.
I know what I was going to ask you. We didn't actually get into, I don't think we did last time, when it comes to sets on specific muscle groups.
Right, okay.
I don't think we talked about that. And you know, you hear people about doing crazy amounts of sets. How much would you recommend that people actually do need?
That is a great question. And I think, again, hopefully my peers will correct me if I'm incorrect, but the last thing I read was by Dr. Eric Helms on the amounts of total volume you can put through each muscle group per weight session. Now, you hear all this crazy stuff like 200 or 500 rep leg days and all this kind of stuff. There is a point of kind of, you know, no return, like, or like, not no return, but...
where you don't get benefits?
Yeah, there's no benefits past a certain point. You're just hurting yourself. You know, you're just setting yourself up and just making recovery take longer. So to give context, quadriceps, I think, is the most amount of volume, I believe, you can put through your body. I could be wrong. It possibly could be quads or glutes. Something like that. I believe at the current, and I'll have to double check, but I think it's 60 to 70 repetitions per workout.
That's not a lot when you break that down into, that's like two exercises.
Yeah. But this is the thing. Ask anybody why you need to do more.
They want to go to that failure point, isn't it?
What we should be doing is trying to get the most out of those 70 repetitions, 60, 70 repetitions.
Quality over quantity.
Yeah, 100%. If you think about that, so let's say we did 4 sets of 10 reps on a squat. That's 40. And then do 3 sets of 10 on a lunge.
Yeah.
Lunges are horrible. So are squats.
They are brutal.
So why would you want to do so much more? This is what I don't get. But it's getting the most out of those. If people are going in there, by the end of the workout, they're doing like 20 kilos on a weight that really they could, at the start of the workout, do like 120. They're not doing anything. They're not getting any benefits from that.
Yeah.
So if you were doing like an upper-lower split or a full body and you did quads twice a week, but you did 70 reps per workout on quads, they're going to grow. You know, that's going to work. And arms are the one I want to address, actually. Arms are the one which people... I've been there and I've done that where I've gone... Because I don't really want to say this, but people always say about my arms. Don't do too well with compliments. They always mention about my pathetic calves as well, which it's like, I do see them. I'm aware that they're really small. And you don't need to repetitively point out. I know. But people say, oh, how do I get bigger arms? And it's like, don't do arms all of the time. It's like an accessory move. Don't need to smash them silly. Like 30 to 40 reps max.
Yeah.
On arms. That's probably even overkill.
I mean, if you think when you're going to be using them throughout your, say, if you're doing an upper body split, you're going to be using them constantly anyway. You don't need to then spend, you know, doing 70 reps on your biceps afterwards.
No. I mean, if you want to do that, crack on, but it's going to just take longer for them to not be so sore. Mm-hmm. So something like, in terms of sets and reps, if you work off of, you could go real super clever and try and work back and work out some stuff on based on 70 reps per workout, etc., etc. But if you think you did seven, most people don't train quads at all anyway, but if they were going to train lower body and they were going to do, at the moment they're doing 10 sets on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever it is on quads, but you know they're smashing themselves to failure. If they're now going to go do 21 sets over the course of a week, there's more volume, mm-hmm. and therefore their muscles, it's going to be more hypertrophy of the muscles, it's going to grow better, within reason. There's a caveat to that. You can't just suddenly smash loads of volume into them and expect them to grow massively, because you need to work up to increasing volume. Likelihood is, unless you're going to trying to bring up at that body part as like a bodybuilder, for example, you can't just suddenly go, because if you did seven sets on quads, six sets on a pull exercise, this and this, you've got to over three workouts, you've got to mix it a little bit and make it fit in, because you should only be doing max probably around about five per session compound exercises. Yeah. So there's got to be a little bit of flexibility in there.
Cool, there you go, let's clear that one up.
Okay, good. You look like you're bored stiff, so I'm gonna leave.
No.
Like, yeah, cool, let's shut up now, Dan.
I was actually listening intently.
Well, it's not exact, is it? It's not. You don't need to be really exact. Just getting the main core of a training plan done is probably going to be the best way to go.
Yeah, I think the basics, what we're trying to get across is that people are doing far more than what they actually need to do, and with no actual structure. So best points would be to kind of get a structure in place, track your progression, and give plenty of time for recovery.
Yeah, 100%. And just get your basics done first rather than worrying about, you know, everything else that people are worrying about. Training's a failure, stupid, don't do it. Don't worry about rest periods. You know, just...
We didn't even cover that, no.
Oh, yeah, I don't bother with them. Just...
You don't bother?
I haven't programmed... I put them in an online client's program just to give them an idea.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for fat loss, like short rest periods don't help that. If you're looking for muscle gain, then if you're thinking about getting a massive pump and smashing your muscles left, right and centre and having short rest periods, it doesn't really make much sense. I do a lot of paired set works with people so that they get a bit more time off in between. So if they do like a press, they'll have 60 seconds and they'll go to a pull and then they'll go mm-hmm. back to that press. They'll have at least two minutes to between, depending on time and all that kind of stuff.
So are you in the mindset of... then wait until you feel that you're ready to jump back into that exercise, or do you prefer longer rest periods or none?
So I tend to, there is, again, another cap. You can't just think, oh, I'll leave it 10 minutes.
Yeah, completely cool down.
Yeah. It's you know, within reason, somewhere between 60 and 120 seconds is going to be good to right. go. If you're on the heavier exercise, you're doing some strength work, then you're going to need longer to recover, because the most important thing about strength is total weight lifted over time.
Yeah. I was just checking that's the road that you were going down, because I heard that as I don't do rest periods full stop. And I was like, what? You just make them train constantly through the whole session? So I just wanted to check that you meant that, yeah, they do rest, but you're not specifically timing it as such.
This DMF stands for Daniel Military Fitness.
Yeah, kick ass.
Yeah, you come in for an hour and do not stop moving until you throw up, or else you're fired.
So I'm in the same camp, and you know, just rest, take your rest, use it, so you can come back and do the next set with the same, well, at least a decent amount of strength left, ready to go. Otherwise, you're just going to fall on the floor, and again, be pathetic.
Yeah, think about it like this: if you give yourself 45 seconds rest in a exercise, and you hit 50 kilos 8 times in the first one, 50 kilos 5 times in the second, and 50 kilos 3 times in the third. If you extended that to 90 second rest and you hit 8, 8 and 7, what's going to yield better results?
Yeah, exactly. Second one.
More weight over time. But, you know, it's not quite as black and white as that, but that's pretty much all people really need to worry about.
There you go. So, I've got time to scroll on social media.
I never do that. I definitely don't post pictures of my workouts. Do you?
No, I don't work out.
God, you're not very fit pro motivational, are you? That's terrible.
Let's be fair, I did do online boot camp and the booty workout today, which literally killed me.
What's the booty workout?
Oh, I just done a December challenge. Little plug here for everyone. I don't know why I did that, because that's not necessary.
It is now. This is going on YouTube as well.
Excellent. So, yeah, it's just a 10-minute booty pump challenge for the rest of December every weekday.
That sounds... To people who don't know what a booty pump is, that does actually sound a little bit like...
Yeah.
I've got something similar at home. It's a Swedish made. Doesn't work.
No wonder so many people wanted to request a join.
Do you make them pay by check?
Damn it, I will now.
I want one of your booty pumps, please. Take that check down to your bank and see if they check it. Check cash it in. What are you selling? Booty pumps. Okay. So, sounds like something they should use in a gut clinic or something like that. Booty pump. Yeah, I've been having really bad problems with like digesting my food. Here we go. This is my new tool.
Have you seen? Oh my gosh! Speaking of that, have you seen this new by something like JML, the squat pumpy thing?
That's a fake.
No, it's not. No, I went by Robert Dias, and they had it in the shop window. It's an actual real thing, and I was like, it's real. It's not a joke. It's a product to help people body weight squat. I was, wow.
How much was it?
Oh, I didn't check.
Is it cylindrical?
As in, like, the shape?
Yeah.
It just looks, one, the demonstration video looks wrong to start with. It really does. It looks like it's supposed to be a joke, but it's an actual real-life product.
I'm down for a bit of that. I'm going to go to Robert Dias and buy one and just do like a video online, naked.
I was going to say please do, and then you said naked.
Well, I got given a very very strange gift, which I did put on social media by my other half last year, just for a bit of a joke. So I might do it in those for a bit of a giggle.
I think you should.
That'd be amazing, yeah. I have to lose a bit of this cellulite first, and then I'll get it up there. Christmas Day. That is a Christmas present for everyone.
I'll get it up there.
Anyway, on that note, seeing as we're just talking about weird products you can find in Robert Dias, we will leave that there. Listen, guys, we really would welcome any... we get loads of PMs now. I get lots of PMs about this podcast, which is great. We don't get to see how many people view it or listen to it, sorry, and so... But we really would love any critique, feedback, any questions. You know, we always love to be able to help out as best as we can. Yeah, that's it. We hope you're enjoying it. And if you want any bit sort of more further information on how to set up training planners, then you know we'd be happy to do that.
Yes, and I'm going to set a link up to your Facebook group, Fat Loss Made Easy. So if anyone wants to join that, who isn't already a member, can join that.
Great, that'd be good. Yeah, you can see all my terrible banter in there, so it'd be really good. So, don't forget, guys, have a look at Bad Taxidermy. It's well worth a watch.
Okay.
We will catch you next week.
All right, bye, guys.